The Bang Radio Hour is proud to be part of the Belly Up Sports Network. Be bold, stand out.
And now, a Bang Radio Hour action NFL reenactment. This week, the Chicago Bears take on the Buffalo Bills.
Check for sound. Check for power.
Systems online.
Bang Radio.
Wait, what?
The Cleveland Browns are on the clock.
We're called Cleveland for a reason. Go Browns!
Hello, Cleveland!
We on fire!
Step up in the party, step up in the party, ha!
Now we went to being a laughingstock, like getting teased like usual.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
What are you talking about?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
It's a great day to be a big old tot.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Preaching to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel.
We stink.
Richardson was there. Second down, four-man rush, and dropped for the second time with Stafford. 1:30 to go until halftime, and sacked for the third time is Stafford. Now Stafford is dropped for a fifth time. Blitz coming, and Stafford is laid out by McKenzie. The Vikings defense again, and after first not getting there, Griffin tracks him down from behind, and eight sacks. He's been sacked more times in this game today than any game in his career. Eight. That will tie Vikings franchise record for most sacks in a game. And that is a Minnesota franchise record, 10th sack of this game.
As Stafford assumes victory formation for the Minnesota Vikings. Victorious today, 24-9, thanks to 10 sacks.
Holy crap, that's my favorite Stafford assumes. Paul Allen. Yeah, that's our buddy in Minnesota. He's on his back.
That's great. God. While I was doing that, while you were playing those clips and the horn was going off and I was over here goofing around with it, my dog thought I was talking to him.
He's all over here jumping up in my lap, you know.
Oh my God, that thing just kept going. I couldn't believe that. 10 sacks is ridiculous.
Oh, you know, I guess the Vikings defense has finally showed up for the season.
Or the Lions' offensive line didn't. I don't know, man. That was ridiculous. I mean, come on.
Matt Patricia was over on the sidelines.
God damn it! Would you somebody block somebody? Somebody, would you block him! Block him!
All right, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 339 coming up. The great homage, the great Bills fan, the great enema, the great chugging, the great baby boom. Everything's fucking great except our teams, John.
I hate football. I fucking hate football. By the way, Joe Sturr on our Facebook page says he wants to hear the I hate football chorus today from both of us.
Yeah, well.
There's mine. I hate football.
I hate football.
Fuck Michigan and fuck the Falcons.
Oh, God. Yeah, you got it twice, didn't you?
Who's going to beat the Falcons?
Not the Redskins!
I couldn't do that dude's voice if you pulled all. You pulled my balls up to my ears.
I couldn't either. One thing about the Vikings on the other side of the ball, Dalvin Cook was back. Did you start him? Because I know you have him.
No,
you didn't start him.
No, I didn't. I'm not falling for that shit again. And then there he went. God damn it. I got blown out this weekend anyway. Everybody on my team sucked, so I wouldn't have done anything.
Dude, my team—it's the worst fantasy team I've had ever had in my league. Worst team I've ever.
I was wondering, did you hire Billy to help you with your team this year?
God, no. Then I'd be probably winning. But anyway, you know, hey, I didn't want to hear from you. Please, you gave up Julio Jones and Odell Beckham for Dalvin Cook. I don't want to hear it.
Dalvin Cook, and I tried. I picked up another running back. I picked up LeSean McCoy to try to make a playoff run last year. But the fact of the matter is, none of them are doing anything. Julio got his first touchdown last week. Has Odell scored?
Oh, Odell's had some big games now.
Like one or two? I know he's had some big yardage games. How many touchdowns does he have? Like one or two? I knew he threw a touchdown.
Yeah. If he's not throwing it, he's catching it. It's all right.
But it's a wash for me.
what Cousins calls Dalvin Cook. It's funny.
I think I said this a few times. I joke that he's the white tiger. You know, like when you go to the zoo and you want to see the white tiger and they say he's not coming out today and you're disappointed. You're like, well, that's why I bought the ticket, to see the white tiger. That's Dalvin. You know, when you get him, he's special.
He's special.
The white tiger. Where'd they get the white tiger? What is that, Kirk's own nickname for him?
Now, well, for one, that's extremely offensive. I don't want to hear anything about that, and I hope all the social justice warriors go after him for that, because there's no way that he should have said that about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is a proud African-American, and there's no way he should have been whitewashed like that. Way to go, Kirk Cousins.
But wait a minute. Is the white tiger a biblical term by any chance? Because we know Kirk's very religious.
No, the white tiger is in Washington, D.C., all right, it's a gay bar, and Kirk Cousins used to be seen there under the guise of... I'm just kidding. Over at the National Zoo, there's a white tiger.
I thought you were serious, John. I would believe it the whole way.
He's at the white tiger. His name is Lance Passer.
Hi, Lance Passer here at the white tiger.
Look, there's a white tiger at the National Zoo, right? And for one, it doesn't cost anything to get in the National Zoo. And two, even if the white tiger is out, it never does anything. You look at it and you go, hey, well, it's a fucking tiger laying down on the ground that's white.
Jeez.
So, yeah, you know. So I guess he thinks Dalvin Cook is just a boring fucking animal that doesn't do anything until somebody throws a hunk of meat in his cage.
Hey, this guy might be the best receiver in the NFL.
Breeze drops back, throws down the slot. Mike Thomas in stride. He's to the 30. He's to the 20. To the 10. Touchdown. Mike Thomas, 72 yards. And the Saints strike a hole in the hearts of the Rams in the fourth.
He pulls out the prop. He goes to get the phones. He goes get the Joe Horn, dials him up.
That was awesome.
I thought that was good. And he put one under each goalpost. Just in case.
Did he really?
Yeah, he had one under each goalpost, just in case.
I did not know that.
I was surprised that Joe Buck didn't pick right up on the Joe Horn thing.
Oh, he didn't get it?
No, well, he did later. It took him like maybe two or three plays later until he said something about it, because he didn't just pick right up on it right away. But there's been a few tributes this year in terms of celebrations. You saw the Joe Horn thing there. You saw the guy on the star, right? The Titan on the star the other night.
Yeah.
And, of course, Isaiah Crowell wiping his ass with the fucking ball like Randy Moss. Well, he did with the goalpost.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was great. And everybody was ripping on him for it. And you know what? I was entertained, and that's why I watched the game. So I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. It's not like that thing was going to hurt anybody. It's not, you know, a Sharpie in the sock, I can understand. It could come out on the field in one of those piles and somebody could, you know,
you could put an eye out. What are you doing out there?
But the phone isn't coming out from under the pad of the fucking goalpost. Oh, and I think if somebody hit that thing hard enough that it did, the problem is not going to be the phone.
Well, when he went over and he pulled out the phone and opened it and put it up to his ear, I immediately went, oh, wow, that's fantastic. Joe Horn's got to love this. And immediately, I mean, I thought, you know, anybody, because I mean, it was 2003. That's when that happened, when Joe Horn scored and did that. But when he first did it, I thought, oh, my God, now he can do that. I did not. I thought you are allowed to use the ball as a prop, but that's the only thing. And I did not know that. I thought you were allowed to use props. So I thought, this is great, because now this is going to open up a whole bunch of new celebrations. But then he got penalized, and, you know.
Well, he had to go to the cell phone museum to get those things.
I know. It was a flip phone.
He got two of them. Right. Now, see, what has to happen next is somebody has to go even farther back and get one of those old football helmet phones that was, you know, like gigantic, that sat on people's end tables in their house. Remember those things? With phone?
I love them. They did get in touch. Somebody talked to Joe Horn, and he said he actually teared up when it happened.
Yeah, you know why? Because his phone rang, and he's like, God damn it, I'm watching the game. Michael, what the fuck do you want? I'm watching the game. You just scored.
That's great.
Calling me while you scored? Oh, it's you.
They asked Drew Brees after the game what he thought about it.
I didn't see it.
He didn't see it.
I really didn't. That's the first I've heard of that. I just know we got a 15-yard penalty. I don't know what he did.
He didn't see it. He's 5'3". Once the linemen stand up, he has no idea what the fuck happened in downfield.
So Troy Aikman weighed in on this, and I was like, shut up, Troy.
Michael Thomas just simply runs right by him, and you know, the Saints are going to be penalized for this celebration at the end of the play using a prop. That's very uncharacteristic of Michael Thomas. The cell phone that he hit prior to the game. That's this is too big of a game to be risking those kinds of yards.
He went on and
on. You know, he did. He droned about it. But in a way, you got to kind of, he was right. You know, it's not a tight game. I think they were up by 14 at that point.
10.
They had already, they 10. Had been up. They just kept keeping a distance.
10. They were up by 10.
All right, but
three
okay,
minutes.
So still, they're within striking distance. How much time was left in the game with that?
3 minutes.
4 or 5 minutes?
3 minutes.
Three? Still. 15 yards given it to the Rams. That's a team, that's an offense you really don't want to poke with a stick and say, here you go. Here's an extra 15 yards.
I loved it.
I thought it was fine, too, because, you know, that's when you tell your defense, all right, dudes, we just fucking made you motherfuckers. Go out there and stop them. Do it.
Yeah, and I mean, had, you know, for me personally, I loved it because if the 15 yards had ended up for some reason, it allowed the Rams to win the game, it wasn't going to affect me at all.
Oh, hell no. Not me either. And I mean, other than the fact that the there would have to be some kind of tiebreaker shit if it ever came down to it between the fact that the Saints got beat by the it would be a million miles down the tiebreaker road that I would even give a shit about it. The fact that if they would have come back and lost, it would have been fine because I'm entertained as hell watching a game in which
right.
Drew Brees gets the shit kicked right. out of him with 3 minutes to go in the game.
Exactly.
I tell you what, I was surprised how easily the Saints handled them.
Well, I mean, it was close the whole game. You know,
I don't know. They were up by 14 at one point in the second quarter. They were up at halftime. They were way up.
I know, but when he scored,
it was never really close.
What are you talking? When he scored that touchdown, they were only up by three. That was fourth quarter. I mean, the Rams had come back and got within three. They needed to hold them there, and then they get the ball back. They could take the lead, but that bomb happened.
I didn't think there was any doubt. That was the thing. The bomb happened, and I went, well, there it is. Because, you know, you just know it's coming. Here they go. He's going to do it. It's Drew Brees, and they're going to win the Super Bowl, just like I predicted back in August.
Yeah, and I had the Saints losing to the Vikings in the NFC Championship.
Well, it still might all happen. You never know.
Yep.
The White Tiger might show
his stripes. The White Tiger and the 10-sack-a-game defense. Yeah.
And Dez Bryant.
And Dez Bryant. How about that?
Dez Bryant. You know, the worst thing about this is that he's going to catch a couple of passes because a Hall of Fame quarterback is throwing to him, and all the Redskins fans are going to go, how come we didn't sign him? And it's like, shut up. Speaking of shut up, hold on a minute. Just time out. You're going to close it. Astro, shut the hell up! That one's a peanut head, man. Once he sees what he thinks he sees something, he'll bark at it for 20 minutes. He's a moron. All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You know who we should call about this game? Let's call Jeff Fisher.
We might as well. We got a hold of Jeff, and we got his services to be our expert going down the line here to tell us how he would handle certain things during the course of the NFL season.
Right. All right, yeah, let's see what Jeff Fisher has to say about this game.
Hello?
Hey, Jeff Fisher, John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. How are you?
Oh, hey, dudes. How are y'all out there, man? This is quite a surprise hearing from you guys.
Yeah, why? We've talked to you before.
Oh. I thought that was the salesman. Anyway, it's good to hear from you guys. What can I do for you?
Well, we just wanted to call and get your thoughts on that amazing Saints-Rams game. And
that was awesome, dude. That was, like, so awesome. I was sitting back watching that saying to myself, you know, dude, this is awesome.
Well, I was going to ask you, I mean, these two teams look so dominant. How can anybody else in the league stop these teams?
Well, I don't want to, you know, point any fingers towards any coaches or anything, but I think that the best way that you could stop these teams would be like to, you have a meeting where you don't really make any sense, and you give them a playbook that really doesn't help them do anything, and then you coach them sort of badly, and you encourage them to make turnovers and things, and then they stop themselves, and that's really what you're after as a coach. You want to keep that medium, you know. So whether anybody else stops them, it's not really up to anybody else. It's not their responsibility because, you know, you have to have, like, responsibility for yourself, dude. You know, and if you're out of control like that, you're running over people, you're hurting folks, you gotta step back and assess yourself, you know?
Okay. Well, I kind of meant, yeah, how would teams playing against them stop them, but...
Oh, well, I guess they would have to go out there and tackle them pretty good, but they have to go out there and know what plays they were going to run, try to defense them up pretty good. You know, you don't let them score, and it's pretty easy to win.
All right.
At least that's been my experience.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, Jeff, look, you went to Super Bowl 34. You took a team to the Super Bowl. How would you handle, didn't you?
I'm pretty sure I did. Okay. That was a while ago.
Well, how would you handle each one of these teams? You know, like, explain each one going forward to give them the best chance to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, first off, I got to tell you, you know, somebody like you take the Rams, for example. I was a coach of that team. As you can see, I never put myself in this position with the Rams. I never had this kind of pressure on me when I was the coach of the Rams, basically because the Super Bowl was something that we didn't even concern ourselves with. We were more after our own sense of well-being and, you know, and being fair play, that kind of stuff. So, like, the first thing that I would have done if I'm the Rams to alleviate all the pressure off the team is I'd have gotten this first loss out of the way, like, in week two, week one even. Yeah, by now I'd have four or five of them under my belt. We wouldn't even be concerned about the playoffs at this point if it was up to me. So that way, you really can kind of get a handle on yourself as men, you know, and you can play the game as it's meant to be played. With the Saints, I guess the way that I would make sure that the team finishes the way that I'm accustomed to is I'd take a hammer and I'd bash Drew Brees right on his knee. That's probably the best way, I'm thinking. I think the other, you know, there's nothing else really you can do about that little pipsqueak other than that. Yeah, cool. Hey, my Hot Pockets are done, so, you know,
All right, Coach. All right. Well, you take care of yourself.
All right, dudes. I'll see you later, man. Like, hasta.
Boy, John, I'm kind of glad because I was about to ask him what he thought about the cell phone celebration, and I'm just glad I didn't even go there with him. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. Wow.
I don't even. Does he even have a cell phone?
I don't even.
I would have guessed he does. He reminds me of a homeless skater.
Did he have a lot of concussions when he played? I don't know what.
He played in the era of a very thin plastic helmet for the Bears defense, and he spent 85 hurt.
Wow. All right. Well, he mentioned fair play, so that brings me to Bill Belichick. What? Oh, no. What? What?
You two better be happy that I like you so much, because that is one of the reasons I will strike you with lightning.
What did we do? What?
Mentioning Bill Belichick and fair play in the same sentence is number 14 on the list of lightning strikes.
Oh my gosh.
Beware, I have spoken!
It was a joke. It was a joke, for crying out loud. What the hell?
That dude has no sense of humor, and you are going to get us fucking fried.
But he does. We've heard it before.
I know. He's the one that puts Bill Belichick in front of everybody.
Right. How about Cordero Patterson playing running back? And that dude runs hard.
He does. I've got him in one fantasy league. I've been playing him as a flex, and I've been laughing like hell as he's winning me games.
That's hilarious.
He does. He runs hard as hell, man. He runs. Dexter McCluster, that's who he reminds me of. Remember how he used to run? Real high knees like that, coming through the line real hard like that, and then he'd have that speed to break to the outside and pssst, gone.
Man, it's kind of fun to watch him. I think they'll probably be happy to get Sony Michel back, but they can use him. They'll have packages. Belichick's probably like, look at this weapon. I can use this guy anywhere.
Because Gronk ain't been there all year. He's got to do something. He's got to innovate.
Here he is talking about Cordero, talking about Belichick, I mean, talking about Cordero Patterson.
The ball handling, the reads, boy, he runs hard, he runs fast, and he's a hard guy to tackle, so he's done a great job for us. He gave us some important carries and some big yards. He's done a great job for us.
He gives us some important carries, John.
Yeah, we don't bother with the minor carries for him. We don't even bother.
Those carries don't matter. These are the important carries.
Yeah. He's hard. He's fast. He's big. Knows how to handle the ball.
If you listen, I'm going to play that clip again. And right about in the middle, about 5-6 seconds in, when he's saying he's this, he's that. It's almost sounds like he's just saying words that he doesn't really believe. That was the only thing that was weird about it. Maybe it's just him and the way he sounds, but listen again.
The ball handling, the reads. Oh boy, he runs hard. He runs fast. And he's a hard guy to tackle. So.
Yeah, he runs fast. Yeah, he's a hard guy to tackle. Yeah, but like blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It was
he's
weird.
He's just running through this thesaurus in his head.
Right.
That's all. He's just, all right, how can I fucking say the same shit they all saw? I'm not going to tell them anything they don't know.
Right.
Yeah, he's good. He can run. He's fast. Did you see him? He was real fast. That was great. Yeah, he broke a couple of tackles. He's strong. He's hard. He's fast. He's hard to tackle.
He's a football player.
Yeah, he's a football player. You can tell he's a football player because he's out there on the football field. He's playing football.
He plays on the offense, the special teams.
He excels in all three areas of football playing, Tom.
Right.
He runs hard. He's hard to tackle. He's fast.
That was a great game. I enjoyed watching. I mean, it was 17-17 at halftime. That was a great first half. The second half, they shut them out.
Yeah. There's been a lot of great games like that this year. But, you know, the Patriots, I think that was my other Super Bowl pick. So things are looking rosy for me.
Yeah, well, they're not looking rosy for the Buffalo Bills, and we've got an angry Bills fan to talk about it.
Buffalo Bills lose to the Chicago Bears 41-9. All I really have to say about this, Nathan Peterman is absolute garbage. This team is absolute garbage. There is no point in yelling and screaming because I need to accept the fact that my team is absolute crap.
Okay, I don't think anybody expected Nathan Peterman to be the savior of the Buffalo Bills.
Dude, give me a break. I don't know why not. That dude threw 14 passes last year and only 5 of them got intercepted. In one half. Let me tell you something, buddy. Hey, I got to say, though, man, I don't know if you saw the news or not, but Nathan Peterman, I don't know if this is true. Somebody tell me if this is true. Apparently, he went out to eat with his family and got assaulted. Because people just don't like Nathan Peterman in Buffalo. Look, people in Buffalo, what did you expect? What the fuck? Did you really look at this team and think we're going to be better than 3-13 or 4-12? I sure as fuck hope not. Jesus Christ. You know, Tom, I'm telling you right now, at this very moment, the Buffalo Bills are behind closed doors playing rock, paper, scissors to try to figure out who's starting quarterback this week.
Well, this is hilarious because... I was Googling that to see if I could find something about the assault. Mm-hmm. And the first one says the Bills, Nathan Peterman experiment goes down in flames again.
See, somebody threw a Molotov cocktail at him.
That was from September 10th. Okay. And now here's one from 4 days ago. Peterman to start for Bills. Anderson out with concussion.
That's right. Derek Anderson. Look, not only did Derek Anderson get knocked out with a concussion for the Bills, but he had to call his manager down at Carpet World and explain why he wasn't going to be at work on Tuesday.
Man, this isn't right.
Oh, my God.
I put in Nathan Peterman assaulted, and I get details on every game he's played. That's...
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and say it's not true.
No, but I mean, how funny is that I Google Nathan Peterman assaulted and it gives me every game he played?
It's because it's an assault on football fans' knowledge of what a quarterback should do.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The wrong guy again. Look, I'll tell you what, this dude's video, he's indicative of another trend. Remember I told you everybody, well, last week we heard, it's your girl, Pete Carroll's piece of ass or whatever the fuck her name was. It's your boy. All of these guys make these videos in their car. They go and sit in their car and make a video. What the fuck is up with that? You're either in the car or in your bathroom.
Well, they don't want their moms yelling down the steps at them to come up and take out the trash. So, I mean.
Shut up and quit playing on the goddamn YouTube!
But this team is terrible. It's going to take some time. But I hope that Bills fans are able to recognize that Josh Allen is the answer after watching Nathan Peterman have to play. And they're watching Derek Anderson. Josh Allen is a great quarterback.
Oh my God.
Josh Allen is what this team needs. I don't want to see anyone criticize Josh Allen anymore because guess what? Would you rather have Nathan Peterman be your starting quarterback or Josh Allen. If you say Nathan Peterman, you're an idiot. And I seriously hope you get the help you need. That's it. That's all I want to say about this game. No point in screaming. No point in giving myself a brain aneurysm because of something that everyone knows, which is that Nathan Peterman is absolute shit. Enjoy the rest of your day, and go Bills.
But it sounds to me, Tom, like Josh Allen is the answer to the solution. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You know, I mean, he's great. Josh Allen is great. I guess if you're compared to Nathan Peterman, anybody that can hear me right now is great.
True.
Right? I mean, any one of us can throw 5 interceptions in 14 attempts, right? I'll be honest with you. I could do it because those would be the 5 balls that would get anywhere near anybody. I'd try to throw a 12-yard out and it would go fucking 4 yards. Thump.
Well, here we've got our buddy.
Oh, we got a buddy?
Yes.
I am a wide receiver. We are talking about a wide receiver and wide receiver play. Oh,
yes.
Oh, he is our buddy.
Michael is all excited about Amari Cooper. This is before the game. This is on First Take.
Yeah.
This is on ESPN2 on Friday on First Take. Michael was a guest.
He's upset. He really is. He's sweating his ass off. He's so fucking pissed off. There's apparently another part to this that I didn't get until too late before the show.
I'm sorry. I meant this was on Monday.
Where Stephen A. Smith explains the 5 things wrong with the Cowboys. Sorry, I walked on.
Yeah, that's all right. It's just what Michael has to say about the team and what they're going to be like going forward. That's really what it comes down to. And yeah, you're going to hear Stephen A. and the other guy. I get to call somebody else the guy.
The other guy.
I can never remember his name. So you'll hear both of them throughout this rant by Michael, and here's how it went.
Tonight, right here in Dallas, we see the dawn of a new day, the beginning of a new age, and a time where the Cowboys will rightfully regain and take their proper spot among kings. Do you hear me? Regain and take their proper spot among the kings.
All right,
I'm just letting you know, baby. That's right, baby.
I got him. Don't get me started. Go act like they the Lord. You're a champion walking around with rings, but these boys ain't won in 23 years, and you sitting here representing them. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's funny.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's
you
funny.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's nice that he mentioned the number 23. I love the number 23.
But Michael loves to play with some numbers, doesn't he? He loves to get...
I tell you what, there's some kind of new thing, I guess. They're all full of numbers. We had Ray Lewis with his 515, and what was Derek Dawkins with the 313, and now Michael's at numbers.
It's funny. It's nice that he mentioned the number 23. I love the number 23 because that's how old Ezekiel Elliott is. He's 23. Amari Cooper, 24, and Dak, 25. You know what that says? You got 10 good years, man. 10 good years starting the dawn of the day.
Hey, time out, Michael. 10 good years. We know Ezekiel Elliott is a great player.
Right.
We don't know that Amari Cooper. He has the talent to be. We don't know about Dak.
Amari has played great in this league.
But is he a great player? And do we know about Dak?
Yes, we do know. Y'all, come on, man.
We know about Dak.
Yeah, oh, get out of
no
here.
No question.
Get out of here. Get on out of here. Get on out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
He is sweating bullets, and I mean, he's literally upset. You've seen other video of him on First Take. Stephen A. gets him going, man. He gets him mad. I don't think they really like each other too much. Michael gets mad at him, man, and he was pissed off during this thing.
Maybe that's who we need, Michael and Stephen A.
Skeeter Mallett was back in the crowd there.
Woo! I am an analyst, and my job is to analyze football and make comments. Bam!
Right.
Goddamn right. Did you hear that? No, that was a goddamn playmaker.
Michael, your thoughts?
Oh, man. Hey, you know what?
All right, let's continue.
Yeah, no, I have no questions whatsoever. Be real here, guys. Dak Prescott put up the greatest rookie season ever. And then last year, and then last year, without Ezekiel Elliott for six games, he had one game missing the playoffs. Ever, all of this rhetoric that y'all sing out y'all mouth, singing on the radio like y'all humming like Donald Summers or somebody, is just noise. Are you crazy? Dak Prescott is a big-time player.
Now, if the Cowboys, team had this kind of passion, they'd have a winning record.
Oh, I'm sweating. I'm sweating around here. Why am I sweating? Get that hat in here, I'm sweating. No.
You're firing people up.
That's what I'm talking about.
So
we just need Dahani Jones.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of the street.
Look out! What was that?
I don't know, but apparently that's what he thinks sports radio sounds like.
You're squawking out your mouth.
I tell you what, I felt like putting money in the plate.
Oh, my gosh. That was great.
Have him on more often. That's what I say. Any program that there is, anybody out there within the sound of our voice, whenever Michael is on anything, your local radio station, if he does a call in, write to me and tell me when it is, and they'll podcast it. I'll find it, and we want to hear it.
I have matured.
Right.
23, 24, 25. You know what that spell? It's spelled housing.
So you have all those people in the box to stop DeMarco Murray in the running game as you blitz the quarterback. You're going to be one-on-one with this boy right here. And I don't care. And all we're going to do is drop slants off, and he's going to take it to the H-O-U-S-N-E. I guarantee you, Dez Bryant starts today.
Housing? Is that what it was?
He's housing it.
You know what I mean.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Right? Let me show you what
I
mean.
I am Michael.
Yes, you are.
You know what he means.
All right, enough of that. Wow. That's good stuff,
that's
man.
Great. Maybe he thinks Dak Prescott's a working girl.
Dude, y'all had what? How many fumble recoveries did you have in the first quarter? Dude, we should have been up 17 to nothing. We should have been
up.
Oh,
my God.
First off, we took the, you know, Zeke took the screen pass all the way down to what? The 3-4 yard line.
Right. Well, and then you got the curse because he said, well, they're the best red zone defense in the league. Every time he said it, they smashed you.
Oh, my God. I tell you, you know, and it's a Monday night game, so it's late. Yeah. I get up at 3 o'clock in the friggin' morning, and I'm like, the fourth quarter rolls around, and I'm looking at my son going, I can't believe I stayed up for this. It was a what?
Hey, Marcus Mariota is the man. You should have known this was coming.
Oh, whatever. I don't
He's the man.
Marcus Mariota is the man.
Shut up already. God
damn it. Why didn't somebody tell me we was playing the man today? This is terrible.
Well, Jerry,
why can't my hot boys get to the man?
Well, you were missing a couple of them. That's why. Damn it! No, Gregory and no David Irving. So that was a big problem. Two guys on the defensive line. That was a major problem.
Well, they had minor muscle pulls from some pole dancing they was doing for some extra money on Saturday night at the local hangar club there. Well, so, you know, all things forgiven, I suppose.
Please pay them more money then. Anyway, here's Jerry talking about. He was being asked about Dak.
Dak is completely capable of looking at what the situation was last night. You don't have anybody that's more capable to look at that and take it to the practice field and take it to learn from that for the next ball game.
Is he your quarterback for the next 10 years?
Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's young, and he's going to get extended.
He's going to get extended, John, and I'm fine with that. But you know who I don't want extended? Fucking Jason Garrett. Get him out of there!
Yeah, I think everybody's about tired of him. Somebody sent me a video. It might have been Ben Boyce. I always credit Ben for sending me these goofy videos. It's probably somebody else who's getting tired of Ben being given credit for all his videos, and he's getting ready to kill somebody for it. But it was his brother dressed up like Jason Garrett for Halloween. It was funny. I got to just say, I agree with Jerry, because there's nobody better to look at it, Tom. I'm telling you, when you watch Dak look at something, you are just amazed. That man has the best looking skills I think I've ever seen in my life. Ever seen. He is young, and he's learning how to look like you wouldn't believe. And he takes what he looks at,
and he takes it out on the practice field. And then he translates that into throws at people's feet and then balls that go 6 yards out of bounds when we need a goddamn first down 11 yards downfield. But, hey, you know, he can look at it. He's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And let me tell you something, Tom. You know what DAC stands for? It stands for dumbass questions. Like, what the fuck is he? Is he your quarterback?
Stop. DAC is not the problem.
DAC is not the problem.
No.
He is not the problem at all. That's why I say D-A-K, dumbass questions.
All right. Here's Troy Aikman.
I've heard Jerry say, okay, look, we're going to do it differently. I'm going to do it differently. You know, I can no longer... But it's the same. Nothing changes. This team, over a long period of time, has been what it's been. And it hasn't always mattered who the head coach has been. And so, to me, if you're asking me, I'd say there has to be a complete overhaul of the entire organization. You just can't simply replace head coaches and say, now it's going to be better. No, it's been shown that it's not better.
Well, okay, now here's what I'm going to disagree with him on in one thing, and that's he says, it doesn't matter who the coach is. Since Jimmy Johnson left, who's the best coach?
Careful where you're stepping there, Tom. We don't like to talk about him.
Who's the best coach Dallas has had since he left?
Well, the best one that I can think of is the one that I've been able to push around the most, and that's this clown that I've got now.
Well, no, it was Bill Parcells.
Or Wade Phillips. I was able to tell him basically anything. Hey, listen, honey, from what I'm telling you, you haven't seen nothing. You got it?
Bill Parcells instilled discipline, you know? Right.
And he kicked me out of the goddamn locker room, so he's not my favorite.
And I go back to it every time at his opening press conference when Jerry hired Parcells at his very first press conference. He says, the one thing I will promise you is you will have a smarter football team. They will play smart football. And I've complained about it with Garrett for years. There is a severe lack of discipline with this team. They make boneheaded mistakes, penalties, just dumb shit, man. I go, you know, I watch it and I go, where's your brain? And that stuff didn't happen under Parcells. That stuff doesn't happen under Belichick. And that stuff didn't happen under Jimmy Johnson because he will cut your ass. And Troy Aikman should know that better than anybody. So I don't know why he would say it doesn't matter who the coach is. I think Jason Garrett there's no discipline with Jason Garrett. Jason's a very smart coach. He's an Ivy League guy. And I think I think he's got a really good offensive mind on top of that. And he was a great backup quarterback. Anytime we did need him, he came in and played great. But look at the team he had around him. So, you know, but I don't think he's a head coach. I just don't think, you know, I think great head coaches demand great respect. And they get it because of who they are and how they prepare and how they coach.
Let me tell you something, Tom. Every one of those boys that you just put on that great head coaches list for the Cowboys ended up getting on my bad side and finding their way out of town. And the reason why is because exactly what you just said. A great head coach is one that knows how to tote it down. And let me tell you something. Wade Phillips knew how to tote it down. And so does this boy, Garrett. He knows exactly how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And that's what's the most important thing. Now, the fact of the matter is, while Bill Parcells was here installing all that discipline, we had Terrell Owens down in the locker room starting fights with Jason Witten, pulling his hair out so that he would have to wear a brand new toupee on Monday Night Football. Have you seen that thing?
Yes.
He's been outed. The Twitter is all over it, Tom. They've spotted this toupee on top of freaking Witten's head. It's ridiculous.
Well, back to what Jerry was just saying, all I can say to that is 3-5, Jerry.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you something about 3-5. Long as Papa's getting his Hummer up in the owner's box, it's all right by me. I can change a channel on that big TV anytime I want.
So let's dance. Let's dance.
Man, when we used to, you know,
look out.
When that whole Dahani Jones thing happened and we were doing
that. Is
that
the song we used?
Yeah, well, we were using Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
And we had the we had the dancing, the steps, like the tap dance set real fast.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah, all that was hilarious.
Right, right. Well, we're coming up with some goofy shit. Last week you gave me the challenge to write the Patrick Mahomes song. So this week we're not going to do any Patrick Mahomes because, you know, we don't want to overdo it, but the song is coming.
Oh, my God. Wait till you got this. Is going to be great. I can't wait.
Hey, here comes Kansas City.
Stop. Don't. It's coming. All right.
It's coming.
Oh, and I was also going to say, I found out another team. It's just like watching the Cowboys. I found another team that I watch the Cowboys and I see all these boneheaded errors and this lack of discipline. And then there's this other team exactly the same way. The Ohio State Buckeyes. Have you seen them? Same shit. Same exact
yes,
shit.
I have.
I don't know where's the I don't get it, man. I don't care. You put a bunch of 4 and 5 star players on the field together. That's great. You got amazing talent, but you know, Bill Belichick makes great adjustments. Great adjustments. Why can't other guys do that?
Well, I excel in all three areas of adjusting, Tom. That's it. I observe and see what needs to be adjusted. Then I think about the adjustment, and then I make the adjustment.
All right, look.
It's kind of the whole key.
Enough of that. You know, I know you're feeling just as bad as me.
Yeah, it's a bad. I'm telling you what. I'm thinking of a phrase, Tom. Ready? We're going to play Guess That Phrase. Ready? It rhymes with Chuck Schmichigan.
I know. And they're fourth. Yeah, now they're in a playoff position. It's terrible.
Fuck them. So that's that. Fuck them.
And then Saturday night, you watch Alabama do what they did at LSU. Just. Yeah. Pummel them, and I went, well, maybe it's good we're not going to go to the playoffs because nobody's
yeah that,
gonna
that was
stop
a smothering
shit. Nobody's yeah. beating them. There is nobody in the country that's going to beat Alabama. I'm sorry, they're just going to do it again.
Well, I'm wondering why we haven't heard from our dog's friend from last year. What was her name?
Oh, yeah, down there in our Georgia fan.
Andrea, right?
Yeah,
Andrea
the Georgia
or
fan.
Allison
yeah.
or something. So it started with an A.
Well, they're aren't they, wait a minute. Who we got? We got Notre Dame, Alabama. Oh, Clemson and Michigan. Okay, that's yeah. right. That's
yeah.
right.
All yeah, right. It sucks this year. That's why I said like 4 weeks ago, I'm not talking any college football this year. It sucks. Fucking Michigan.
So, you know, the whole thing with going back to Michael Thomas and the cell phone.
Right.
I wonder what would happen if one of our NFL players did this. This was great. Right out of the Canadian Football League. So an offensive lineman for the Ottawa Red Blacks.
The Red Blacks.
Is that an offensive name?
The Red Blacks? I don't know. I think that like the Redskins is offensive according to a lot of people. So I think this one just says, you know what, fuck that. We're going to go all out and offend as many people as we can. I think they wanted to call themselves the Red Black Chinks, and then everybody went.
All right. So John Gott is his name, and he celebrated a touchdown against the Toronto Argonauts on Friday night.
Right.
He runs over to the sideline, okay?
Right.
His girlfriend is sitting there in the stands, right up front the stands. So he runs over there, takes this big can of beer out of her hand, chugs the beer, and then crushes the can on his helmet.
I saw the video. I thought it was great.
It was the best ever.
I thought it was great. And you know what? I think that we ought to do something like this in the NFL. The Seahawks are not at home this week, right? No, they're not. I think they're on the road. The Broncos, they're off this week. The next time somebody scores a touchdown in either Seattle or Denver or now Detroit,
yeah,
do a bong hit. Right. Do a bong hit. That's what I want to see. Do a fucking bong hit. Get that right up in there between your face mask. Thank you.
Oh, fine. Now we can get together in that.
All right.
Hi, Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, guys. It's Jeff again.
Oh, Jeff Fisher.
Sounds like you're having a party over there.
What? Oh, jeez.
Sounds pretty good, man. Hey, I got a hold of some really good stuff that I found at a dispensary just outside of Tacoma, man. Why don't I stop by?
All right, Jeff. Jeff, you have a good night. No, you're good. You just go ahead. Goodbye.
Later.
Oh my God, John. Why?
He's our expert, Tom. Now I understand why the Rams were always fucking 7-9, 6-10.
One more thing I did want to mention. God. So in the aftermath of the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl win.
The aftermath.
Well,
Earth was never the same.
Well, I mean, because you know, right, the fans rampaging through the city, wrecking the place, bringing down light poles,
eating
smashing windows, setting fires, flipping cars, yes, eating horse poop.
Right.
Some fans chose to make love, not war, John.
Well, good for them. Ben Boyce, once again, congratulations on the new granddaughter.
Well, the ramifications are being felt throughout the city.
I think Tom just predicted the Rams are winning the Super Bowl, everybody.
John, it's been 9 months since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. About 2 weeks ago, I congratulated Ben for having a granddaughter. And remember I said, hey, right around 9 months from the Super Bowl.
They're having a baby boom in Philadelphia.
Look, man, the NFL Network has commercials, and they have meetings now of people who were born as results of Super Bowl baby booms.
Oh, it's crazy, man. One OBGYN said, people like celebrating during happy times, so this is one way to celebrate. And another nurse said, quote, it's really cool. It's something fun to do for our town and our hospital to have all these babies here and celebrate them for the Eagles win and for these families who have new Super Bowl babies. I mean, really, is that the reason you have a child?
No, that's one of the reasons why you get laid. Meanwhile, the losers are spiking Pornhub's freaking stats through the roof.
I know. That's hilarious, isn't it?
The winners are getting laid and the losers are looking at porn. Oh, hell, here we go over to Pornhub again. That doggone Tom Brady.
All right, you got an email?
I do have some email today. Let's see. We have an email from Dear John and Tom, longtime listener from NorCal. I'm a big 49ers fan. Did you see Nick Mullins' debut?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He looked great, he said. What do you think? Did Jimmy G get Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, you know what? No, because of the money.
No. Oh, well, by the way, this is from Mark. You know, Bledsoe was, he had money coming to him, too.
I know, but
I don't think
on,
he's going to get Bledsoe.
Okay,
now.
First off, hold on. Look, yes, he looked great. It's one game, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who was it against?
Against the Raiders.
Against the Raiders, yes, thank you. Right. He was well-prepared. He had great poise in the pocket, everything you want to see in a guy in his first game. I mean, what more could you ask for? But Jimmy Garoppolo's pretty friggin' good, man, and he's got a big fat contract. And hey, isn't it nice to know you have a capable backup? So why don't you just be happy about all that?
Dude, quite frankly, Beathard was not playing all that bad.
No, he wasn't.
He made some big play. He wasn't great. He wasn't going to be anybody's starter next year. It's not like right now Mullins is trade value, right? But yeah. Beathard had made some plays.
Why?
Right? He made some plays. And I think what you're seeing here is the common factor, which is Kyle Shanahan.
Why is he trade value? Keep him. Just like Philadelphia, they didn't go get rid of the quarterback that won the Super Bowl because, you know, Wentz is there. They got them both.
Because
why not keep him?
The guy on the other sideline there is going to be looking for a quarterback, and maybe he'll make a stupid trade with one of those first-round picks across the way that was watching Mullins do that.
Well, that's true. That's, I mean, yeah, if you're going to get something great out of it, but, I mean, otherwise, you know, just, my God, you don't have to do anything.
You know, hey, good for him, man, and good for the 49ers. If they can stay competitive, at least to stay in, what, around that 15th, 16th, 17th draft position, that'll be good for the league, and why not?
and you also have to, like you said, you got to look at who their coach is. I mean, the guy's
right.
gonna make great quarterbacks out of every quarterback.
Hey, what did I say on this show about 5 or 6 years ago? The next great head coach in the league, one of the next greats that's going to be in the next round of great head coaches is Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And I think you're seeing it right there. All right, Yisman, our old friend Yisman, reached out on Twitter, said, I don't know what was more painful to listen to, Fred Smoot-Rae making references to female genitalia on the official team feed, or you trying to draw us a picture of what that might look like on the podcast. Boy, if I had a telestrator, Tom.
I know.
Down here, over here, I think this is the labia majora. And down in here, you got the labia minora. And somewhere up in this area is what they call the clitoris, but I ain't never found that. I'm not sure what to do with that.
Oh, I don't think the world's going to be able to handle us when we start doing this show in a television studio.
Oh, God. No, I don't want to be on television. I've got a voice for radio and a face for the closet.
It's just going to be a telestrator.
A telestrator. Okay. I'm good with that. Yeah, we can do some telestrating on what Fred Smoot's talking about. Here's the ugly girl. She might be fat, but once she shaves a little bit, it's just the same as anybody. Let's see. Dear fuckers. That's always nice.
It's like that guy that does those rants and he goes, later, fuckers.
Later, fuckers. Let me write this podcast. Dear fuckers. Greg Gaga Williams' son is not named Matt. It is Blake.
Blake.
He's been a coach in the NFL for almost 10 years, and he is the Browns linebacker coach.
Oh.
Signed Kenneneth in Ohio. So thank you, Kenneneth, for all that information about
Cricket Williams. Hey, Cricket Williams. I've been working on it, Tom. Last week we were starting to kind of spitball Cricket Williams' character while we were live on the show, and I think this is where it's going to go. I hope we don't have to play that Patrick Mahomes anymore.
You kind of sound like his coach.
Who?
Mahomes's?
Andy Reid.
Oh, Andy Reid.
Hey, what are you doing stealing my thunder? I don't care. You can have my thunder. Just leave my goddamn M&Ms alone. When I used to face like this.
All right. We do have a question for Al Davis.
Oh.
Oh. All right. So.
Okay.
Some people may remember this. Well, you remember Jamarcus Russell, who was quarterback for the Raiders.
Right, right. I do. He was a great quarterback, Tom. I'm telling you. I made the move, called, and pulled the trigger.
I was talking to John. We didn't get to Al yet. Oh. I didn't get to the question.
Sorry.
But that's okay. But that's okay, Al. Anyway.
Make up your mind, goddammit. This shit hurts my throat.
So Jamarcus Russell has, like IQ of a donut. And the guy.
Funny you should bring up donuts.
Jesus Christ. So they would send, you want your quarterback to watch game film, right?
Right. Yeah, this story came out this week.
Yeah, well, it's a true story. So Jamarcus Russell, they would give him tapes to go home and of game film to go home and watch, and then he would come back and they would talk to him about it.
Right.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I was watching blitz packages.
Right.
Well, they wanted to see what he would do, so they gave him blank tapes.
Imagine that. Jamarcus Russell not doing his homework. I'm shocked.
And then he comes back and claims he watched all the blitz packages that they were, whatever the team was. And there was nothing on the tapes, and they knew he was lying and he wasn't watching them.
Well, who was their coach at the time? Maybe he thought those were blitz packages. You just can't see them. They're very cleverly disguised.
All right. So regarding that, Barry from Boise.
Okay.
Home of the Blue Field.
Home of the Blue Field and crazy people.
Well, he wants to ask Al Davis about that. He says, did you know about the blank tapes being sent home with Jamarcus? And what did you think about him lying and saying that he was watching blitz packages?
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, I remember that. And Barry from Boise, I remember that very well, and it was a complete misunderstanding. You see, Jamarcus had problems with his VCR that day. He had called me up and told me he'd gotten a jelly donut stuck in the machine, wanted to know if I could let him borrow a playbook instead of watching these game tapes. And I, of course, asked him, well, what happened to your own playbook there, Jamarcus? He told me he had gotten chalupa sauce on the pages. They'd gotten all sticky, couldn't read them anymore. Anyway, it was perfectly understandable, Tom. He's a great quarterback. I really don't think he needed to pick up any blitz packages because, frankly, he was so good that he would have been able to hit Darius Heyward Bey for multiple touchdowns on the same play if he would have only been given a chance by that moron, Kiffin, who I fired one time for something.
Oh, I remember that very well.
For cause. I fired him for cause and, of course, for time.
And then you hired Tom Cable, who you knew nothing about.
Right. I needed to find out about, who Tom Cable was. I still have no idea who the hell Tom Cable is. I where the hell, I think, is he working for me again?
He is.
I don't even know if anybody is considered working for me with my stupid son in charge down there. I don't get it.
Yes, he's a line coach.
Kiffin is the one, Tom. He's the one that tripped up Jamarcus. And as you know, when he's so heavy, when you knock somebody down like that, he dislocated a hip and was never quite the same.
Gotcha, Al. All right. Well, there you go, Barry.
I've got to tell you, Tom, I've been waiting a long time to get out of this heaven. It's anything but, holy smokes, it's boring.
I would have thought you were out of there by now.
Nobody's here. Nobody's here. I guarantee you, since I've died, more players and more coaches from my era have passed away, and none of them are here. This is ridiculous. Jesus isn't even here half the time.
All right, enough. All right, John, so last week I went 2-1. I had the Chiefs minus 9.5, the Browns, Dolphins minus 3 versus the Jets, and the Cowboys minus 6.5 versus the goddamn Titans. And I went 2-1, and that puts me at 18-10 on the year. Ladies and gentlemen, I think John is back with the Chiefs minus 9.5, the Browns, Dolphins minus 3 versus Jets, Texans minus 1 at Broncos, Saints plus 1.5 versus Rams, Steelers plus 2 at Ravens. Bang goes 5-0.
It was easy.
It was.
Those were obvious games. I'm telling you, I felt good going 5-0. It's the first time I've had a winning week in forever, and it was a nice one, 5-0. So this week, I'm taking 5 again.
Well,
but you go first.
That was cool because it put you back on the good. You're 16-15 on the year.
That's right. So far, mybookie.ag has bought me a Big Mac. So, hooray.
Very good. All right. So I'm going to stick with those red hot Saints, especially since Andy Dalton will not have AJ Green in Cincinnati.
Oh, I know. So, and that could be for a long time, right?
They said a couple weeks, they think.
No, that's a long time, depending on who you are. If you're a fruit fly, that's fucking a lifetime.
Well,
that's a lot of lifetimes.
So you got Saints minus 5 at Bengals. Yeah, give me that all day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know the Titans look like world beaters against my Cowboys, but the Patriots are bigger than the world, so give me the Patriots minus 6.5 at the Titans. And I am going to take, I don't like big numbers, but we're talking about the Chiefs against the Cardinals. Yeah, I will give up, I'm going to give up the 17 points, because I think it's going to be like 45-10.
Yeah, that's what I was shooting for, 45 out in the desert inside the big flying saucer. It's going to be cool.
It's at Kansas City.
I'll walk up to the door and go, meep, 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 meep.
That's the stupidest fucking Sesame Street joke I've ever made in my life. So you don't like Mike Vrabel coming back home, huh?
No. It's at Tennessee.
Oh, that's right. It is at Tennessee. So you don't like Bill Belichick coming to visit Mike Vrabel?
I do like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. I think he's going to pound on him.
You've excelled in all three phases of hospitality. Nice hotel, good stadium, good food. Thanks.
How the hell did the Lions beat the Patriots?
I don't know. I can't figure the Lions out this year, but I do know this. One thing that's been driving me crazy. Because in the fantasy league that we're both in together, in which I am still very much alive for the playoffs, and you are looking at next year, I have had Kenny Golladay, Golden Tate, and I have Kerryon Johnson. And I am always trying to spin the wheel and pick the right Lion for the week. And it's like, okay, I got these two in, and oh, God damn it, it's Marvin Jones with 2 touchdowns and 75 yards.
Yeah, the week I've got him benched. The one week I sat him down, he goes off. And I'm like, I can't. I just can't do anything right this year.
Right. And so, like, last week I have Kerryon Johnson and he has big fumble. Oh, fuck, that sucks. But so I've got Golden Tate's moved over to the Eagles now, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, probably so. You probably
I
will be. So.
Fantasy-wise, anyway. All right, this week, what am I going to do? I'm taking 5 games again because I like 5 games and I like the fact that it feels good to win 5 games in a row. The Falcons, given 5 points to Greg Williams, I don't give a shit, man. It's the Falcons. I've watched their offense now. Their offense is very difficult to stop. Greg, he ain't got what it's going to take to stop that offense. And basically, after watching what they did last week to the Redskins, pretty good defense, they're going to run the Browns right out of the building, too, because offensively, they're not going to be able to keep up either.
That's at Cleveland, right?
Yeah, it's at Cleveland. I don't care. I know that's one of the biggest stages in all the NFL, but Greg in his second week. I'm taking the Falcons minus 5. I'm taking those Saints, and I got it at minus 6. So I guess I got it a day after you. So I'll take it. I'll give 6 to the Bengals. I'm taking the Lions, and I'm taking 7 points.
I always look on Tuesday.
No, see, well, I looked today. I'm going to take the Lions, and I'm going to get 7 points from the Bears. I can't figure out the Lions. They're up and down, but I'm going to bet that they'll stay within a touchdown. This is a division game. You know, I think they'll play it kind of tight.
That's at Chicago, right?
Yeah, but this ain't the Buffalo Bills. This is the Detroit Lions. I'm also going to take the Chargers, and I'm going to give 10.5 to Oakland because they're just trash. They're garbage, Tom. And I'm going to take Seattle, and I'm going to get 10 points versus the Rams. Give me Seattle with 10 points? Fuck yeah.
Where's that game?
That's in L.A., but I don't really think that makes much difference. It's just a matter of staying within 10 points as far as I'm concerned. I'll take Russell Wilson. I'll bet on him to do that.
And where's the Raiders game?
The Raiders game, it is in Oakland, but I don't really think it goddamn well matters anyway. They could play that game anywhere they want. The Chargers are going to whoop them.
All right, man. Well, that's that.
And that's what I got.
Yeah. And now I get to watch my Cowboys on Sunday night against the Eagles.
Well, we get to watch them play the Buccaneers. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Buccaneers are the worst defense in the league, so maybe there's a chance. But if we try to hang with Fitz and that offense throwing the ball downfield, we're going to get embarrassed again.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Unfortunately for you, Jameis Winston got benched.
Right. The thing is, last week, I'll give it to the Falcons 100%. They took that defensive line of ours, that big, bad defensive line, and handled them. They handled Allen. They handled Payne. They just fucking handled them. And that was that.
It was rough. We were watching you lost your guards. You lost Richardson. I was like, damn, man.
Yeah. I wish one season would go by where we don't have to sign fucking players off the goddamn street to start on Sunday on our offensive line. Oh, well, that's football, right? I hate it.
All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
I hate football! I hate football!
Wowzy, wowzy, woo!
And that's Eli with the interception to seal the loss. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Bang Radio.
Wait.
I only can control what I can control. When there's not much I can control, it's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, Troy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God!
Ain't a whole lot of that shit right there, yo.
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
What's going on, peoples of UK? If you eat last night's leftovers from lunchbox, or your mouth water when microwave go ping, then you commit crimes against cooking. So thank goodness for Meerkat Meals. Dine out with 2-for-1 on food at your local favorites.
Like La Tasca and Pizza Express.
All with the Meerkat app when you buy through Comparza Market.
Ooh, lunch is ready.
I'll get my coat.
Qualifying purchase, 2-for-1 on equivalent starters, mains and desserts, a la carte only, Sunday to Thursday, T's and C's and exclusions apply.
What's going on, peoples of UK? If you always get same boring meal deal, or your mouth water when microwave go ping, then you commit crimes against cooking. So thank goodness for Meerkat Meals. Dine out with 2-for-1 on food at your local favorites.
Like Handmade Burger Co. and Frankie and Benny's.
All with the Meerkat app when you buy through Comparza Market.
Ooh, lunch is ready.
I'll get my coat.
Qualifying purchase, 2-for-1 on equivalent starters, mains and desserts, a la carte only, Sunday to Thursday, T's and C's and exclusions apply.